The text for the sermon this evening is found in the epistle, first epistle of Paul to the Corinthians, chapter 10, verse 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 at verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Last week we considered the sixth petition of the Lord's Prayer, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We saw that here our Lord teaches us that we should give a prominent place in all of our praying that we will be kept from temptation, first of all. Lead us not into temptation. And why is that? Well, we found the answer in our own sin and the weakness that comes from that sin. In the language of our larger catechism, we, even after the pardon of our sins, let alone before, but even after the pardon of our sins by reason of our corruption, weakness, and the want of watchfulness, are not only subject to be tempted and forward to expose ourselves unto temptation. In other words, by nature, we like to flirt with temptation. We don't mind being tempted. And these astounding words, but also of ourselves unable and unwilling to resist them. Not only are we by nature unable to resist temptation, but we find ourselves so often unwilling to resist it. So we fall so quickly into sin when tempted. And for these reasons, in consideration of our corruption and weakness, our Lord teaches us this humbling petition, lead us not into temptation. Why? Because I'm so weak and sinful, prone to err. Temptation is an important subject in the school of Christian faith. We saw last week that obedience to God's law, and we're going to continue along with this thought tonight, obedience to God's law involves us in a constant struggle with our sinful nature and the devil. The Christian is constantly exposed to temptation to walk in a way that is contrary to God's law, either by leaving undone the things that God's law requires, or to walk in a way of doing the things, the very things that God has forbidden, that God has said not to do. And this is the whole nature of sin, that it disposes us to go against God, against that moral perfection that is in Him, and to do that which is contrary to His law. And we've seen that God's law is not an arbitrary set of rules, but it is a mirror reflecting the perfections that are in God Himself. We are never at the place where temptation is not a problem for us. In fact, the more the Christian grows in grace, the more frequent and the stronger temptations become. Because the more aware he is of his own corruption and weakness and the perfection of duty which God requires. The more we grow in grace, the more we understand what God intends for us, what he requires of us in terms of our motives and the thoughts of our hearts, the purity of our affection and devotion. We see that sin is not simply a matter of our outward actions, but it is a matter of our thoughts and attitudes. When we really consider it carefully, we see the wisdom of the words of St. Augustine, one of the church fathers, who said, all of life is a temptation. All of life is a temptation. Well, there's one way to be free from all this, and that is to let go of the Christian faith and just to walk and do what's right in your own eyes and not to have any God. And that's the way most people walk today. But to be a Christian involves one in conflict with his own nature, which is prone to disobey and go against God. Sin is at bottom against God. So we have temptation always to sin. Temptation is, strictly speaking, enticement to sin. Enticement to sin. Enticement to think, say, or do that which is contrary to God's revealed will, which is the Bible. We don't have any other way of knowing what God's will is. It is inscripturated for us in the 66 books of the Bible. And it's all in a wonderful way the unfolding of the spiritual implications of the Ten Commandments. And we saw last week that there are two sources of temptation. The first is our own sinful nature. As James puts it in his first chapter, verse 14, every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. So temptation comes from ourselves, from the lust within us, and we become enticed. And then when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. What a marvelous thing this is. Not wonderful in the sense of being beautiful, but the lusts that drive us make us see going against God's will as being attractive, as something that will bring us pleasure and satisfaction and fulfillment. But the end of it is misery and death. When lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin, and sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And so that's the first source of temptation. And the second source of temptation is the devil himself, who is called in the scripture the tempter. The tempter. That's his name. The one who solicits and tempts us to sin. How does he do it? He stirs up the corruptions within us and brings before our sight those things that are pleasing and well suited to our corrupt lusts. He poisons the mind of the Christian with bad thoughts. He presents pleasing objects to the will and entices us to go against the word from God's mouth. So our Lord teaches us to pray, "Lead us not into temptation." And our text tonight contains some grand truths to be remembered when we are tempted to sin. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. In other words, deliver us if we should be tempted. O Lord, let me not be tempted, but if it should please thee that I be tempted, deliver me from that temptation. And God has provided comfort and strength for us in these words in our text. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that ye may be able to bear it. The first thing we are taught here is that our temptations are not unique. Perhaps we're apt to think that temptation may come along and just bowl us over, that there's no way that we can deal with temptation. Well, to moderate that negative expectation, the Apostle Paul says, there hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Our temptations are on a human level. They are of a human order. They are common to men. They are not the kinds of temptations, stronger temptations, that our Lord Jesus had to deal with in the desert. Our temptations are not unique. They are temptations that others have faced and endured and have been delivered from, and others have fallen before such temptations. But they are temptations that are common to men. They are not unique. Let's not say when we're tempted, why, I'm the only one that's ever been tempted like this. They are common to men. Elijah, one of God's choicest servants, was tempted by fear when his life was threatened. Instead of following the pathway of duty and proclaiming the word of the Lord and trusting in God, he ran away in fear out into the desert. And then he succumbed to the temptation of unbelief and despair. There sat down all alone and prayed that God would take away his life and do away with it, complaining of God, bitter in his soul. Job was tempted to curse God and to forsake the Lord. For the Lord had dealt very hardly with him and had suffered Satan to afflict him in a terrible way and to bring much misery upon him. Peter was tempted, you remember, tempted to the fear of persecution. And Peter yielded to that temptation, and in a moment he denied that he had ever known the Lord Jesus. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. Our temptations are not unique. They are not of a supernatural origin and dimension. They are such as are common to men, such temptations as may commonly come to men. So let's understand that in the very first place. And second, the Scripture says here that God will not suffer you to be tempted more than you are able to bear. Not only are the temptations such as are common to men, to man, but notice, God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. And notice here what we have seen in the sixth petition itself, that God often suffers us to be tempted, you see. God does not tempt in the sense that God cannot solicit to sin. But God may and does. He purposes and he orders our temptations for good. And in that sense, he may indeed lead us into temptation in the sense of leaving us to be tempted for his own purposes, to humble us, to train us, to make us more watchful, to make us aware of the corruption that is within us, because there's no tendency that's greater than to think more highly of ourselves than we ought to think. Why, I'm pretty good. That's our tendency, the pride of life. And the Lord often leaves his people in temptation, suffers them to be tempted so that the perverseness of their own hearts can be discovered. And that's a humbling experience. Well, we covered that last week, but we see this same teaching here implicitly. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. In other words, God may and often does suffer us to be tempted, leading us in that sense into temptation. But remember, it will never be a greater temptation than you are able to bear. Now, this does not mean that you can bear temptation alone. This does not mean, the Scripture is not teaching here, that you are able of your own strength, that God limits the temptations to such a dimension as you may deal with in your own strength. Left to ourselves, we are no match for Satan, let alone any match to deal with the corruption of our own hearts. But the sense here is that our temptations will not be such as to overcome us all at once. God will not let us be tempted in such a way that temptation will come and overpower us all at once so that there is no way that we can possibly deal with it. Our temptations will not be out of proportion to our resources that God has given us to withstand and endure temptation. God is faithful who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. Well, how then does God arrange that we will resist temptation? How are we to bear then temptation? If they are so ordered by God that they are not out of proportion to the resources He has given us to withstand them, what are those resources? How can we withstand temptation? Well, we find that also in this verse, where He says He will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. So we've seen here that God, in every temptation, will provide a way of escape. Why do we teach that? Because the Bible says it. God will, with the temptation, provide a way of escape. So we've seen here that our temptations are not unique. They are such as are common to men. Second, God will see to it that we are never tempted out of proportion to the resources He has given us to withstand it, that they will not overpower us all at once so that there's absolutely no hope if we're tempted. We're doomed to sin. No, God has arranged for us to bear our temptations and has given provision for it. And we see here that God will and He does provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear or to withstand temptation. Oh, the faithfulness of God. Doesn't that shine through here that God suffers us to be tempted, but our temptations are of a human order? God, you see, God doesn't want you to look at temptation and to say, I have no way that I can ever get out of temptation. Every time I'm tempted, I'm just going to sin. That's all I can do. No, God says, it's never going to be greater than you can bear, and God will, with every temptation, provide a way of escape. How faithful is the Lord to His children? So here is the key in this scripture as to how we can bear temptation. The key is in finding the way of escape. If God provides with every temptation a way of escape, an alternative to disobeying Him, however attractive the other way may look, then isn't this the key? How do we find this way of escape? How many times, I would ask you tonight, how many times have we fallen in temptation because we have not considered the way of escape that God has provided with the temptation? How do you find this way of escape? Well, the first thing certainly is to look for it. In every temptation, no matter how strong, Look for the way of escape that God has provided. Believe what he has said here, that with the temptation, he has provided, he has made a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it. So first look for that way, because be sure that it is provided. And the second thing that we must do to find that way of escape is to pray for it. How many pray in a time of temptation? Whether it is a prolonged temptation or whether it is a quick and sudden impulse of our sinful hearts, but to look up to God and to pray to our Heavenly Father. This sounds easy, to pray in a time of temptation, but really it is not easy, does not come automatically. In fact, prayer is very difficult when a soul is gripped in temptation, in the darkness and power of our own lusts. It is difficult to pray, and yet how important it is if we would find that way of escape. We must find that way. And by not praying, you give the enemy the greatest possible advantage over you, whether it's a temptation coming from your fleshly corruption or whether it's a temptation from the devil. But if you don't pray, if you don't call upon God in that temptation, you give the adversary the greatest possible advantage. It's like leaving yourself all unguarded and undefended. And how can you find the way of escape if you call not upon God? Our Lord Jesus Christ, in a time of desperate temptation, prayed in the wilderness. You remember in the Gospels, we are taught that after his baptism, at the very beginning of his public ministry, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He had to undergo temptations that we would not be able to bear, temptations that were not common to men. He was led there by the Father, by God the Father, by God the Holy Spirit, in order to be tempted. That was part of the work that he came to do for our salvation. And what did he do in the wilderness? He prayed. He fasted and prayed for 40 days and 40 nights. And then at his very weakness, the tempter came to him as he hungered so terribly, said, "If you're the Son of God, why don't you command that these stones should be made bread to provide for yourself?" And our Lord resisted that temptation. He resisted it in faith. He resisted it with the Word of God, but he had prayed already, being tempted. And we think of our Lord in perhaps the greatest time of temptation of all. If there was a time greater than that experience in the wilderness, we read of it in the 22nd chapter of Luke's Gospel. When our Lord went out into the garden to pray that night that he was betrayed, knowing that his time had come, standing there facing the cross, facing all that he must endure, facing the curse that he had to bear for sinners that they might be forgiven. He was accursed for our sakes, as we saw last week. As Moses lifted up that serpent, so Christ was lifted up on a cross. Cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. He became accursed for our sakes, that we might be forgiven all our sins. And everything inside of the holy heart of our Lord recoiled against the cross, recoiled against the suffering that he was called to bear. Oh, how he was tempted to flee the cross. And what did he do? He prayed, and he said to the disciples, "Pray that ye enter not into temptation." And we read in verse 41 of Luke 22, when as he was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, he kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Here is Christ in temptation, in deep agony of spirit. What was the temptation? To flee from the cross, to turn the other way, to call down the angels from heaven to destroy his enemies. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. Do you see that? As he prayed to his Father in the hour of temptation, an angel came from heaven, strengthening him in his temptation. And being in agony, he prayed the more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. And our Lord was delivered. He set his face like a flint to go to the cross, and he went through it all. For you, for me, for his people everywhere, to win everlasting blessedness and happiness for those he came to save. But see that in the hour of temptation, he leaned not to his own strength, and even in agony, he prayed and cried out to God for the strength that he needed. Do you think you can succeed in temptation without prayer? Oh, I could go through a whole range of temptations tonight, but you know what they are. You know what yours are. Do you pray when you're tempted? Do you look for that way of escape that God has provided? And surely we ought to consider that Jesus is our friend in time of temptation. We have this wonderful promise in Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, for in that he himself hath suffered being tempted, he is able to succor them that are tempted. He is able to comfort and strengthen. He knows what it is to be tempted. He knows your temptations, whatever they are, and he's able to help you in them. For some of you, it may be the temptation to turn away from the gospel, to turn away from Christ, to listen to the wisdom of the world and to consider the Christian faith to be foolish. When there's something else in your heart that draws you to Christ as the Son of God, as the one who revealed the Father in his own person, I say Jesus is able to deliver you from that temptation, from the world that beguiles and seduces. Because he himself hath suffered being tempted, and it is suffering to be tempted. He is able to succor them that are tempted. But how can we find that comfort and strength if we don't call upon him, if we don't turn to him? So God has provided that way of escape, whatever it is. But, oh, pray and seek the Lord when you're tempted. Remember, first, look for that way. It is provided. And second, pray. And what are these prayers like in time of temptation? Well, they're perhaps short prayers. We don't have a half an hour to spend dealing with it. Short and fervent and frequent. Lord, save me from this hour. Deliver me from this temptation. Open up that way of escape. Let my eyes see it and be delivered from doing evil in thy sight. God will surely hear that prayer and open up that way of escape and deliver, either by sending his Holy Spirit to strengthen you, or taking off the tempter, perhaps, or opening up that way of escape so that you're able to bear that temptation. So our Savior taught us to pray, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Should it be thy will that we be tempted, oh, deliver us from evil. And consider that there's always a way of escape. Your temptations are not unique. You are not alone in your temptation. Other Christians have endured the same thing. The Lord himself was tempted. And your temptations will never be greater than the resources God has provided in order to withstand those temptations, because he is faithful. And he will ever make a way of escape. Haven't you already experienced how faithful God is when you're tempted? If you call upon him in that temptation, short and fervent prayers to God, how he does indeed open up that way, taking off the tempter, ordering things by his providence so that the urgency of that temptation is relieved. It may seem inevitable that we sin in temptation, but it is not necessary. There is no absolute necessity that we sin. Oh, I know there are many theological distinctions, very fine, we could get into at this point, involving the sovereignty of God. But you see, the beauty of the Christian faith is taking all that God has said and drawing comfort from it where we need to draw comfort. This is a hopeful message, isn't it? That God may suffer us to be tempted, but he's going to be faithful in that temptation. And there's no need, there's no absolute need. If we succumb to temptation, we can never blame God, blame only ourselves, that we didn't find the means that he provided to escape. Oh, may God give us confidence. Consider also the Lord Jesus, who was tempted for our salvation and who is able to succor those that are tempted. Jesus Christ is a real and wonderful Savior. He sits at the right hand of God the Father in heaven. He is at the right hand of majesty. He is at the throne of God. And he is still able to save and to deliver. And if you don't know the salvation of God, I invite you tonight to call upon Jesus Christ. He says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock, saith the Lord. If anyone is athirst," he says in the book of Revelation, "let him come to me and drink." Will you come to him tonight? Will you call upon him? Prove him tonight. Call upon him for salvation. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Reach out tonight as his word is preached and call upon him. Ask him to make all things new. And as you are tempted, remember to call upon him, for he is faithful. He is able to succor, to comfort, strengthen, whatever the temptations are, to walk contrary to God's law. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we praise thee for thy great faithfulness, for providing a way of escape, for suiting our temptations to our humanity, and help us to draw the hope and comfort from this scripture. May we be delivered above all from sinning against thee constantly. May we walk in that righteousness which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee. May we not be always bowled over by our sinful corruptions and by our adversary, the devil. Oh, we thank thee that we are able in thy power even to withstand in thine own armor the assaults of the devil as he lures us into sin, as he would rob us of our peace, as he would grieve thy Holy Spirit, as he would diminish us and take away our graces. and our comfort in thee. Make us wise to his designs. Make us wise observers of our own hearts, that we may keep them with all diligence, and defend us against the hour of temptation. And shouldst thou be pleased that we be tempted, O, deliver us. Help us to look for that way. Help us to look to thee, to look for the way, to look up to heaven, to call upon thee for strength and help, Lord Jesus. We ask thee tonight that thou wilt manifest thyself to them that are lost and weary, that thou wilt draw near and succor those who are beloved to thee, and show thyself wonderful even to those that may seek thee not, that they may be found of thee. For we ask these things in thy name. Amen.